You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This episode is brought to you by our patrons like Eric Kube, who support the show on a monthly basis. Join the club and get a new patron-only podcast called Stories That Can Never Be on the Show. Sign up today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow.
I'm Hattie. You're listening to That Story Show in America.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hallelujah! You're watching?
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady house. I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people, this is That Story Show, where we're telling hilarious real-life stories and inviting you to do the same. This is episode 347, brought to you the week of July 9th, 2020. I'm your host, my name is James Kennison, and my good friend is here.
Hello, I'm John, and I love the smell of bacon on my donuts.
What?
Yeah, I had one this morning. It's a maple bacon donut.
Where did you buy such a thing?
We have... at the foot of our property here at the school that I work at and the church that I work at, there is a bakery called the Heirloom Bakery.
Uh-huh.
And they make all sorts of delicious donuts. They got a Fruity Pebbles one and an Oreo topped one.
I approve of both of those. But yeah, bacon? Like
yeah, I know it sounds like it'd be gross, right?
Yeah, it does.
But it's maple. It's like a donut that's dipped in maple frosting.
Gross.
And then okay, yeah, I know that's probably kind of weird too. But the bacon adds this nice, salty, smoky flavor to all the sweet.
I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't even want that to exist. So,
well, I'm sorry it does.
It does. It's like
I'm not sorry.
There's a place in our neighborhood called Whisk, and it's not a donut shop, it's a bakery, and they make things like homemade Pop-Tarts and stuff, and it's so good. Everything there is so great. But they got into gourmet popsicles lately. And they have one that sounds horrible. And if you're not from St. Louis, you're not even going to know what this flavor is. But they have a Provel cheese flavored popsicle.
Now, really?
If you don't know what Provel is, it's almost a liquid cheese. And it's what we put on our pizza here in St. Louis instead of mozzarella. Yeah.
Really?
I don't like St. Louis pizza. And I got a love-hate relationship with Provel. But I definitely think it would be nasty as a stinking popsicle.
I don't understand. But you know what? I'll try anything once. I really will.
I am not that kind of person that would try anything once. My wife is. And we have one each child. That made sense. But my daughter is like me. She will not try things once. And my son is like my wife. She will try anything once, but a cheese popsicle? Are you kidding me, people? Come on.
No, man. It might be like that contrast of flavors that just like bacon.
See, that's the part I don't like, is the contrast part. I want harmony in my, that's why I had no problem with Fruity Pebbles. That sounds awesome. Oreo popsicles. I mean, Oreo,
donuts.
I was going to say banana boats for some reason. Yeah. It all sounds great, but not bacon.
Hmm.
Well, they had a bacon milkshake last year at Quick Trip. Do you know what Quick Trip
is? Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, we've got those all over here.
Yeah, I never had guts or the desire to try one of those.
I believe it was a maple kind of flavored, too.
Gosh.
If I remember correctly.
I love bacon. That's the thing. I do. I'm not against bacon. I'm just against savory and sweet mixed together. You know? It's gross. And
so you've never had chocolate-covered bacon?
No! Ugh! Okay.
Yeah, maybe these kind of donuts aren't for you, my friend.
Yes, they are not making them for me. Thankfully, they're way far away in Georgia, where I'll never be tempted to throw up on them or burn their place down for making such atrocities. Man, doesn't the world have enough going on without bacon donuts? Isn't there enough wrong with the world already?
Maybe bacon donuts is what's going to bring people together.
No, it's not. I'm proof. me and my army of haters will riot and picket and we'll throw things at your side. And we'll be the mean people, the mean protesters.
The mean, angry ones who are angry because there's maple and bacon in the same.
Yeah, we'll find out who invented it and knock their front door in and stuff like that. We'll be those kind of... We'll be very vicious in our protesting. Not the peaceful kind. No way.
No.
Because we feel strongly about our cause. Well, anyway, speaking of causes, we have a cause, and that is reading hilarious real-life stories from you. And this is one here, and we're going to start with that one. So it's called Pencil-Lead Liam. And it's kind of an odd little story, I'll be honest. At first, I read over it, and I wasn't sure if it was for this show or not, you know?
Really?
But then I thought about it, and I'm like, yeah, it's just wacky and zany enough to make the cut. So here we go. Hello, James.
But it's an opening story, so it must be good.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what you think. Hello, James and John. There's this game of chicken that I used to do with myself, where I wedge a pencil between my leg and the table, making sure that the eraser side is on my leg, but at an angle so that the pencil isn't pushing too hard on my leg. And then I move my leg to the side so the pencil gets more vertical, which makes it push harder on my leg, which hurts. Okay? So far, this sounds like something a crazy person would do.
Or a middle schooler.
Yeah, true.
Maybe.
And I try to leave it there until it hurts too much and I chicken out. Okay. So there you go. That's the setup. That's what he does.
I'm applying pressure to my carotid artery and I'm trying to cut the circulation off to my leg.
I'm trying to torture myself for no good reason. And then something crazy happened. And that's why I sent the story in. Here we go. I ended up doing that game another time in September of last year. But I made one little mistake. See, instead of putting the eraser side on my leg, I put the sharp pencil lead end on my leg instead. And as I moved my leg to the side, it seemed to hurt more than usual. Apparently, this guy's brain moves a little slowly, like the input from the pain center to the brain center doesn't track as well because he continues. But by the time I realized that the sharp graphite was on my leg, it was too late, see? And I had gotten stabbed by the pencil. And I quickly removed the pencil from my leg, and I got a Band-Aid for my leg. But the pencil had made a little black mark on my leg. So nice. I gave myself a pencil tattoo. And yes, the dot is still there. Thanks for the great show, Liam. Liam, I'm sorry, but you are officially insane.
Yes, and I would not recommend, you know, sharing that with any of your friends because they too might want a graphite tattoo.
Yeah, what if that becomes a new thing on Instagram? Is posting your picture of your stupid little dot? I got the
graphite tattoo challenge.
Hashtag got the dot. So, you know,
Dude, if that becomes a TikTok thing, we gotta label it somehow so that everybody knows. We don't want credit for that.
It hurts me though that someone wouldn't. First of all, you're torturing yourself, and that's a crazy person thing to do. You know, that's what you see in TV shows, where when people go into a crazy place, there's always that guy just bumping his head against the wall. You know, there's always that guy. And there's always somebody kind of stumbling around asking for a wife that's been dead for 10 years and stuff. But that one guy hitting his head against the wall, he's torturing himself. And so, Liam, you might need to get your brain checked, buddy. That's all I'm saying.
Get a scan.
Yeah, just get a scan real quick. Save up your money and, switch to those big fat pencils.
Switch to lollipop sticks.
There you go.
Yeah, the ones that won't give you a tattoo if you accidentally put it around the wrong way.
Yeah, switch to popsicle sticks.
There you go.
That would work even better.
Yeah.
If you're going to torture yourself, you know, I don't know. Here, let's do some weekly rewinding.
That'll torture yourself.
What?
Do some algebra. That'll torture yourself.
Yeah, that'll do it. Let's weekly rewind. Very briefly. All right. my weekly update. Oh gosh. Oh boy. Oh, let me tell you. I'm gonna tick some people off. I have a feeling because.
Uh-oh.
I have a little problem because I was driving. I was driving down the road, minding my own business. Traffic was flowing smoothly until this lady pulled out in front of me and made me slam on my brakes to avoid hitting her. And the first thing I see on the back of her car is in bright chrome, cut out letters, is Jesus. Oh. And the first thing that comes to my mind is, oh, good, she's got Jesus with her, and Jesus told her to do that. And that's the problem that I have today is some of you are out there and you've got your Jesus sticker on the back of your car. And you've got your disciple fish or you've got the sticker of your local Christian radio station. And you feel like that you're doing your duty to evangelize through the tailgate of your car. But you may not be driving well enough to represent the Almighty. That's all I'm saying. And this lady was definitely not driving well enough. I mean, I was like, I'm a Christian. I'm a person who serves God, and I felt so soured toward Jesus at that moment for some reason. Like I didn't like him for a minute because I was like, he made her do it. He's in the car saying, you know, just take the chance, pull out. I'll protect you. No, take the wheel. You know that whole thing. I don't know. So. lady with Jesus sticker on the back of her car is LBB, and she shouldn't have it on there because she's making people not like Jesus. I like him, and I got a little spicy with Jesus for a minute. So I can't imagine what people who don't like him or don't believe in him, what they would think. They would think, yeah, this lady's just so into Jesus that she's not even into what's going on around her. And so, yeah, I want you to check yourself. If you ain't driving the speed limit and you've got a Jesus fish on the back of your car, you need to stop. You need to pull that thing off. If you've been cutting people off in traffic or flipping the bird and you got everybody, my boss is a Jewish carpenter on the back of your car, you need to quit. You need to rip that sticker off. You need to just go neutral because Jesus cries every time you cut somebody off in traffic. I'm telling you. So please do me a favor, change out your bumper sticker and go ahead and put something that represents the way you drive properly. You'll be doing us all a favor.
Put devil's friend on. Satan is my co-pilot.
Yeah. Push people toward the good side with your bad driving. By representing Satan. That would be a good thing. Put a big upside down pentagram star on the back and people will be like, dang, those demonic people, they was devil lovers. They're terrible drivers. I'm gonna get with Jesus people.
Yeah.
But the way it is right now, everybody with the Jesus fish, they're ticking people off. So I don't know. LBB of the day for me was a lady with the Jesus on the back of her car, misrepresenting how Jesus would drive. Jesus would not do that. Now, I know Jesus wouldn't drive a vehicle. He might drive a donkey cart, you know, or something like that. But I'm sure he would give plenty of room before he would pull out in front of you with his donkey cart, you know? So even though I know that's not biblical, he technically never drove a donkey cart, but we don't know, you know?
We don't know. There's, you know, there's a whole, you know, 30 years of his life that we don't know much about.
Yeah. So maybe he drove a donkey cart, and I'm sure he was very aware of his surroundings and never pulled out in front of somebody and made their donkey cart have to stop super fast. So
yeah, I think that's fair.
I hope I wasn't too offensive and taking too hard of a stand, but I felt very passionate about this.
Wow.
Because seriously, when I saw Jesus was responsible for what happened, I was like, this is not good. Me and Jesus, we have enough problems of our own getting along sometimes. I don't need him, you know, forcing women in front of me. in the traffic. So there you go.
Oh, man, when I first moved to Atlanta, I had a Jesus, you know, fish on the back of my car.
Mm-hmm.
And I was driving through, and I did that, and then not intentionally, but because I, you know, didn't know how to drive in Atlanta yet.
Right.
I, you know, kind of cut somebody off, and then I thought, oh no, I've got that Jesus fish back there. I got it when I was in college, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I got that Jesus fish back there. People are going to hate Christians because of that.
Yeah, exactly.
So I took it off.
That's my point right there. And it's the same with your checks. If you've got a cross or a fish on your checks and you're writing bad checks, I know nobody writes checks anymore, but if you are one of those people and you're writing bad checks, you are a bad witness. You're embarrassing Jesus. And that is not the situation I would want to find myself in, personally. So that's why.
Can you imagine the judgment day? You're like,
I don't even wear Christian t-shirts because I'm not a good enough Christian to represent anything, really. So
because they used to be so cheesy back in the day.
Yeah. That's the real reason is they're cheesy. But and they have words on them. And I rarely wear a shirt with words on them at all. It's just designs for me, but especially cars. Come on, people. We can get together on this. I mean, it's a known thing in St. Louis, our local Christian radio station, that people that have the radio station sticker on the back of the car are known in the secular world as being horrendous, horrible, inconsiderate drivers. And
Really?
Yeah, it's written about in the local papers and things like that. Yeah, they tease and jest. And it's become a thing. So please, folks, let's take the engraven images off our cars. You know, there's a reason we're not supposed to make them. So
we're going to advertise. Let's advertise for the wrong team.
Yeah. Just go devil the whole way. And my boss has pointy horns and stuff like that. And you can have those.
I used to have. That's how I feel about political stickers of either kind.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You know, somebody cuts you off and you see whatever candidate they're supporting, you're like, oh, well, that makes sense now.
I love the ones that haven't been running for 10 years.
And
they still have a sticker on their car.
Rossborough for president.
They're just holding out hope that one day he's going to come back and from the dead. and become a president. So,
wow.
Anyway.
Oh, man. Well, that's a little bit. I have an LBB as well.
Okay.
One of them, maybe myself. So I'm working on my house, right? It's never ending project.
Okay.
But my wife told me the other day, she's like, hey, we need to get the boys' room finished before school starts. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. So we've got this old paneling on our wall from like 1970.
Yeah.
I kid you not. It's literally from the 70s. And the people who flipped the house, they painted it over and it made it look real nice and stuff, but we want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And so, well, my wife wants me to get rid of it. actually, we gave the boys the choice. We're like, hey, you guys want flat walls or do you want to have these panel walls? And they're like,
we want them flat, like a normal wall.
It's like, okay, fine.
We feel like poor rednecks, Dad.
So. Yeah, right. because you know that wood paneling has its groove.
It does.
Horizontal or vertical.
You could take the time and caulk all of them in, or you could just rip it down and put up sheetrock. So yeah.
Well, that's the thing. There's actually sheetrock behind it.
Oh wow!
I'm excited about that. It hasn't been finished, you know. But
yeah, but still, that's huge.
It was a good find. Well, I started to take one wall off, and as I was peeling off the stuff, what do they call it? The paneling.
Yeah.
I noticed that there had been termites living behind it.
Oh boy!
And they had eaten all of the paper off of the sheetrock.
No way!
All of it is crazy. So you know. Termites are kind of lazy, I guess. They're going to mess your house up, but they're going to take the path of least resistance. So they actually ate the paper in between the paneling, which is made of wood.
Yeah, they didn't want the paneling.
No. They wanted they took the paper. They ate the paper off. They actually ate the paper off of crap. What is that stuff? Insulation.
Oh, wow.
Insulation paper, too. It is ridiculous. So anyways, I was like, oh, great. Now I've got to go to Home Depot and get some sheetrock so that I can you know rip this old crap down because I could poke my finger right through the wall and
right
nobody wants to do that. You can't paint that anyway. So I go down to Home Depot and I grab two big old sheets of sheetrock and you know how they come stuck together, right?
Right.
You get two sheets and so I was like, all right. So I hoisted it up and got it on the cart and I was like, I need to go grab a couple other things. So I leave the cart there because it's in the sheetrock area and there's not a bunch of
people. Which is
there.
What you do. That's what you do. Yeah.
I got it reserved for myself. I'm not going to have to hoist it. And I was like, I got to go get a couple other things. So I ran over and got the other things. And when I went back, my sheetrock cart was gone. I'm like, what in the world? And so I was like, well, I don't have time to go through that again. And so I just start to pay for myself. And I see this dude carrying off my sheetrock cart.
No way!
Because I had some other stuff on it. And I was like, wait a second. Yeah, and here's the thing. Here's what makes this guy an LBB. I don't think he paid for it.
No way.
I think he just like was walked up to it and just kind of started hauling it off. And I'm like watching him go out the door. And I'm like, well, I can't prove that he didn't pay for it, but he didn't stop at the registers.
Wow.
And I watched him walk out to his vehicle and I thought, well, should I go say something? And then I was like, no, I'm not going to say anything because I'll probably get beat up. And so in my, you know, passive aggressive way, I'll just call this guy out for being an LBB. Don't take people's sheetrock.
Yeah.
And if you do, pay for it.
Yeah. If you're going to steal something, don't just steal it. Steal it and pay for it.
Yeah. The right way. He probably had one of those stickers on the back of his car too.
It makes sense. It's like people that drive the way they drive around here. They won't stop at a stop sign, but then they'll stop later on at a stoplight. And I'm like, you're not going to obey the rules and then you're going to just obey them suddenly. If you're not going to obey the rules, don't obey any of them. Be consistent. Just skip them all. And that's the way this guy was. He stole your stuff. And then he stole from the place. So at least he's consistent.
I guess you got a point there.
I don't approve of him though. He was stealing your cart. I had a guy though, one time at IKEA, there was a cart just sitting by itself empty and I took it because there was no one around it. There was nowhere in sight. And some dude came up to me and said, you stole my cart. And I was like, I was embarrassed. And I was also irritated because you don't leave your cart. And this guy was not a first generation American. He was from somewhere else. And so I don't think he knew the rules of American cart distribution. And that is you keep your cart with you. And if you leave it in the aisle somewhere in the open, it's for somebody else to take, you know? Yeah. So anyway, he was such a butt about it. So yeah, LBB, all of them.
LBBs of them world.
There's our LBB warning sound. So don't be an LBB this week.
Advertisers. Yeah, don't do that.
And then I hope you get your sheetrock situation figured out, man. Thanks. Your house, it seems like there's so much wrong with it, man. You guys doing okay over there?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Doing good.
It's one of those things. I'm glad you took the paneling down. I'm glad you found out about it. I mean, are there still termites? Have they been dealt with?
Oh yeah, they've been dealt. These were old tunnels and stuff. Okay. I mean, I knew going into it that there were termites.
Oh, okay.
Lived there, and the guy that sold us the house, he did a full treatment before we closed.
Well, good. Good. Yeah. All right. Well, I wanted to thank our patrons one more time. I know I do that at the beginning and the end of the show, but I also wanted to say in the middle, thank you so much for your support. You are the reason we're able to continue to do the show. You cover all of the costs involved with doing the show, and it keeps it going. Matter of fact, before Patreon, there were people that would give in the old fashioned way, which was just through PayPal contributions. And those people, there's no way I could go back probably and look them up and thank them by name, but they should be, because it was people like, some of them are still patrons, and that's why I'm talking about them. They kept the show going even when the show was down, even when I wasn't doing the show, the bills were still getting paid because of the contributions of people. And so I appreciate our supporters, and I would like to ask you, listener, to consider becoming one for just $5 a month. That's $1.67 an episode, and it's nothing. It's a cup of coffee, you know, at Starbucks, and it would mean the world to us if you would consider joining. We like to give more than we get, and so you will get access to a bonus podcast called Stories That We Could Never Read on the Show. You'll also get a sticker in the mail, as well as other perks on our Discord server and things like that. So consider on the
back of your car and drive bad, though.
Say what?
And don't put the sticker on the back of your car and drive bad.
Oh yeah, don't do that. But you can stick it on your water bottle and leave sweat on the machine if you want to, because that's okay. That entitles you. But no, go to patreon.com/thatstoryshow and consider supporting the show. That's all I'm going to say. I do want to take a second and say hi and thanks to our reviewers this week. We have so many reviews, I couldn't possibly read them all, but I've got a few. Connie says, this one keeps me laughing. Hey, James and John, you guys are the best clean podcast I'm sure I'm ever going to find. I found this podcast when I was having a really bad week. But since I found it, I've not been able to stop listening to the hilarity you keep bringing. I do have to say that The Big Freaking Snake was the one show that made me laugh for the next couple of days, even after I was done with the episode. Keep up the awesome work, and please, please, please never stop. Yeah, that was the one where I stood up and knocked stuff off my shelf. I couldn't handle it. That was a little crazy.
Yeah, feel like we should relive that one sometime.
I don't know, man. That was so real and raw. I don't want to hear about no snakes no more. Emily says, this show is so amazing. I listen to them every day, and when I feel sad or I've had a rough day, I turn them on and I feel much better. Every episode makes me laugh, whether it's a weekly update, a quiz, a recap song, or a lie detector. I recommend them to anyone who loves clean comedy, even people that don't. So, you know, even people that hate clean comedy could get on with this. That would be great. James and John are so amazing, nice and funny. Love y'all. Keep it up, Emily. So appreciate it. Yes, we appreciate your reviews, and we appreciate your support on Patreon. I keep saying Patreon like it's real fast and smarmy, and that's not the way it's pronounced. It's pronounced Patreon. And the people that give are called patrons, which is confusing to me, but that's
me too.
It's the way it is.
I don't know how to spell it, and that scares me.
Well, let's do some stories.
Yes. Is there anybody going to listen
to my story? All right. This one is called Honey and Jelly, and it comes to us from Jackson Capuchats. It's a French name. It means little frog over a pond.
Oh, cool.
And it sounds like several bad words. So here we go. Hello, Mr. Kennison and Mr. Steinklobber. Well, well, well. Thank you.
Well, bonjour.
First of all, thank you for this enjoyable, clean, and Christian podcast. Who said it was Christian? I just told people to put Satan stickers on their cars.
Advertise for the bad guy if you're going to drive bad.
Yeah, context is everything here. I look forward to each new show episode in the hopes that something exciting will happen. Secondly, I have a story for you both. As a preface, my brother is a big fan of sugar. So am I, actually. I'm a huge fan, and it's a problem. So much that he institutes it in almost every meal he partakes in. This is a trait he has always had since birth. So when he was a baby, he was looking for the sugar bowl, apparently, which brings us to this story. When he was 3 years old, he started to make his own sandwiches for his lunch. My mother, being the intelligent Southern mother that she is, laid down rules for him before she let him off the leash, so to speak. They included, but were not limited to, number one, rule number one, no honey and jelly sandwiches allowed.
Oh.
Number two, no Nutella-only sandwiches allowed. That's kind of harsh.
What? That is harsh. What else can you put with Nutella? That's
peanut butter. It's so good. Number three, there must be the same amount of peanut butter as the other substances. As I told you, he's a big fan of sugar. I also ought to tell you that my brother inherited from my father the trait that helps him keep a poker straight face when he wants to or needs to. So, now that you have the setup, one day, my brother, with complete disregard for the rules, decided to make himself a honey and jelly sandwich. Sounds gross to me, but if you love sugar, I'm sure that sounds awesome. Just like bacon, freaking nasty donut and stuff. Sounds gross to me. But if you love sugar and bacon grease mixed together in a lathery substance, that sounds awesome. Yeah, yuck. Anyway, after completing the above action, he sat down at the kitchen table and began to eat. And it was at this point that my mother walked in. She, knowing my brother, sat down next to him and asked him what was in that sandwich. Mom says, what's in that sandwich? The brother, with a completely straight face, says, peanut butter and honey. Mom says, are you telling the truth? Brother says, yes, ma'am, keeping a poker face the whole time. Mom says, don't you lie to me. The brother says, continuing with an unreadable facial feature, I'm not. So my mom proceeded to sniff the sandwich. Mom, is that honey and jelly? And brother, showing no signs of cracking, says, no, ma'am, it's peanut butter and honey. The little liar. He continued telling my mother this lie and an additional 20 times or more until my mother started thinking she was most legitimately going insane. Okay. So it was at this point she called my dad, who, knowing the game my brother was playing, told my mom to tell my brother that he got two more spankings for every lie he told.
Ooh.
So, mom comes up and says, Dad's saying that you get two additional spanks for every lie that you tell from now on. So, what kind of sandwich is that? Finally, my brother cracks. You could see his mind tying itself in knots over whether to keep lying and potentially get to eat the sandwich. And if it didn't work, potentially getting his bum in a world of hurt. Or just tell the truth and only get a couple spankings but not get to eat the sandwich. There was a downside on either side. You see the conundrum that he was in, the predicament here. It's a lot for a little kid to handle. Brother says, what happens if it's a jelly and honey sandwich? Mom says, you get some spanks and you don't get to eat the sandwich. After 2 minutes of pondering, brother finally accepts defeat. And it's just trying to negotiate. Could I please only get 8 spanks? Could I just get 8, Mom? I mean, come on.
8 and one bite of the sandwich, please?
I took 4 bites. That's 2 spanks per bite, you know? No. What is in that sandwich? Your brother very quietly finally admits, jelly and honey. Mom says, go to the bathroom. That's where you have to beat your children, because that's it's where the sound doesn't get out of the house. So
the privacy, the bathroom's in the middle of the house, so the
The screams don't travel past the front door.
So after that, he didn't get to try. He didn't try to get past my mom on the sandwich front again. And there's my story. I hope you enjoyed it. Keep up the good work, Jackson Capuchets. The name is French. It's likely a derogatory term referring to Frenchmen, my ancestors, who immigrated from France to America in the 1800s. Okay. Well,
wow.
Thank you for having a very hard to say last name.
Yeah. Well, he spelled my last name right, so I'm impressed.
That's great. That's impressive. Man, have you ever been just straight up caught in a lie before like that? And it's so deep that you got to keep lying, but you know that you're just digging deeper and deeper. You probably never have. Because I bet you wilted at the first sign. You thought about it and started crying. And your mom was like, why are you crying over here in the corner, little Johnny? And Johnny would be like, because I thought about making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I thought about it. And I did. I thought it would be mean if I did it without telling you. And I just decided to punish myself. So here's this belt. Spank me, Mom. That's probably the way it was with you.
I mean, it kind of sounds right. I thought about lying to you, Mom. Now I'm so terrible. Please, I've got to be punished for my thoughtful wrongness.
Change my mind, Mama. Help it line up with the Word of God. Beat me, please. No, man. I would lie, and I would lie on top of lies. I would lay it on thick. I mean, I told y'all about the book in the pants story from years ago, back in the early days of the show. I did something wrong, and I was supposed to get a whooping, and I put a book back there, and I got a whooping, and I made it to the door, and and mom, I thought I was done, and my mom says, James, wait up. I'm like, dadgummit. She's like, what is that in your pants? And I said, nothing. Nothing. Nothing, Mom. Of course, nothing. She couldn't see the corners of it or anything. So she had me pull this book out, and I still wasn't done lying. I was like, Mom, I had a boo-boo on my butt, and I didn't want you to hurt it and feel bad and be abusive accidentally. And so I put this back there to protect you.
Wow. Man.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Did either of your kids pick up that trait?
No, they are truth tellers, thankfully.
That's good. Because you'll know all the junk they try to tell you.
But so, I do have it in good confidence that my son uses his lying skills against his sister quite a bit.
Oh no.
Like he'll make up a lie around a little bit of truth, like you do, like I teach my students to do. You gotta lie like the devil lies. And you drive take a like the devil. Don't drive like the devil drives, yeah. Drive like Jesus would, please. So anyway, goodness.
Well, I'm glad that they're keeping you honest, or you're keeping them honest.
Yeah, they're good kids. They don't lie, and because they like immediately, if I catch them doing anything, like I walk in the room and Jay slams the laptop down, and I'm like, oh crap, what did I catch him doing? You know, and I ask him right then. And you know, I check the history, and he's like, I was watching Minecraft videos. I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. You don't slam the thing down on Minecraft videos. But I look, and sure enough, that's what he was watching. He told the truth and wasn't doing nothing that bad. He just knows he's not allowed to have a computer in his room. So anyway, sorry, Jackson, if I butchered your last name, but we're ready for another story now.
Let's do it. I got one from Hope. Comes to us, Hope Trinkler. 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 That's a cool last name.
Trinkler, yeah. Sounds like Sprinkler.
Sprinkler. Hope Sprinkler. Well, this is about spiders.
Oh, boy.
James, you like spiders?
No, I don't particularly like them at all. But I bet you would if they were on a donut.
Nope. Not unless it was a decoration that I could eat. If it's a real spider on a donut, I'm throwing the whole box.
Well, I just assumed that you were so loose with your, you know, definition of what a donut topping is that maybe a spider would be appropriate. Like,
I mean, bacon? I don't know. Okay. Well, Hope says, hi, James and John. This is Hope Trankler, and I have a funny story from my childhood. One day when I was around 8 or 9, my dad and I were going to play at the park. We were just about to leave when my dad got a phone call from one of his friends. They started chatting, and I knew it was going to be a few minutes before we left, so I decided to lay down on the couch and daydream until he had finished talking. Now, our couch, which we have since replaced, was a bit older and had an interesting dark blue and red floral pattern on a tan background. The pattern was reasonably small, and it hides stains and other such quote-unquote objects reasonably easily. As I was laying there, the left side of my body to the back of the couch, I glanced to my left and saw a giant wolf spider sitting about 3 inches from my face.
Yuck, 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 yuck.
However, it took my brain a few seconds to process that it was indeed a giant wolf spider because it blended so well into the couch.
In other words, y'all got an ugly couch. If a spider can hide itself in the print of your couch, you have an ugly couch.
That's probably really why they replaced it. It was one of those looks where you look and see the object but don't recognize what it is, and you turn away and realize what you just saw, and then you stare at the said object and scream.
There is a process. It takes time.
It takes the synapses a little bit to get to the brain and react to your mouth and thought process. So she jumped off the couch as fast as possible, and my dad in the other room, hearing my panic scream, yells into his phone, "I gotta go!" and aggressively slams his flip phone shut.
Aggressively. Aggressively slamming his flip phone.
I gotta go!
It's like closing a clam, just snap. And I'm just, or a compact case. I'm aggressive. Anyway.
Well, he ran into the room to find out why I was screaming, and all I could do was point and jump around like I was an Irish step dancer. That's quite a brilliant description there.
Yeah.
He valiantly grabbed his slipper and ended the demonic hairy beast's life. And he then realizes that he has to call his friend back and explain how his daughter almost ran to Canada because of a spider. Thanks for reading my story, Hope Trankler.
Well, I'm glad you didn't run to Canada.
Yeah. Especially, I don't know where Hope lives, but, you know, if she was in Florida, that'd be a long run.
Well, and every area has their own version of some giant arachnid, you know. It's not like you would get away from them. There would just be something else out there. Like,
I think in
the Midwest, we have centipedes that like to crawl around, and they're really dumb. They're not like roaches, where roaches, when you see them, like, they run to get away. Centipedes just keep on going where they're going. They don't try to get away. You could step on them, and they still try to go the way they're trying to go. So
lots of legs. I can do whatever I want.
They're not very smart, and it's easy to get them, but, man, they're gross. They just have tons of legs, and I have one of them. Okay. I have a Jenna hair on me. And it's touching my face, and it's wrapped around my glasses somehow, and I can't get free. And I've been trying to do the show and silently remove this, but it's driving me insane. It's touching me in random places, and I can't find it.
You hope it's a Jenna hair. It might be a wolf spider's thing.
It feels like a spider web. That's exactly what it feels like. Yeah. All right. I think I'm free. All right. I'm going to read a story now. Just had to freak out right there on the microphone. Angela Vergis. She says, please don't mess it up. Okay. is that all we're known for, is messing up genders and last names? Because, yeah, I guess so.
That.
Angela Vergis. Hey, James and John. This is Angela from Bangalore, India. Wow.
Wow. Hello.
There we go. I've been listening to your show for about 3 years. I'm 15 years old right now. So, also, this is the first time I've written a story, and also the first time I've written such a long email. So please forgive any mistakes. We will give you all the grace we can. After listening to the Displaced Dad episode, I remembered something that happened to me. So here goes. When I was around 6 years old, my parents and I went shopping to buy some firecrackers to celebrate Diwali. That's the Festival of Light, just so you know. And I know how to pronounce it because of The Office. So
I've actually celebrated Diwali.
Oh, really? That's cool.
When I worked at Northrop Grumman, we had a lot of folks there who were from India, and they brought that culture to our office, and we had a party. It was awesome. I loved it.
That's cool. So we reached the store, which was pretty much under a giant tent, and we were just walking around, my mom and dad trying to decide what to buy. So I wanted to explore a little, so I walked on, but not too far, as it was a pretty crowded place. And when I was bored with walking around and ready to go home, I started to look for them, and I saw my dad's striped shirt. This is important. So I ran to him and addressed my presence by promptly holding his hand. He was talking to someone, so I waited patiently. And while he was talking to the person, he was moving his hands. So naturally, he was moving my hand too, and that felt a little off. But then as I was staring into the distance, I saw a man with the same shirt as my dad's. My eyes widened. And then the man turned and he looked exactly like my dad. And I realized that the man who was holding my hand was not my father. So I yanked my hand out of the stranger's hand and I ran to my real dad and then cried with embarrassment. I couldn't look back at the other man. I don't blame you, man.
No way. I wouldn't either. Never make eye contact.
So the thing I'm weirded out by is that this guy did not even realize that some random kid was holding his hand. He was talking to someone and he barely noticed. That is kind of weird.
That is. Maybe he had kids in the vicinity that he just thought it was one of his other kids.
That is true. Anytime somebody calls out dad, like at a restaurant, a Walmart, a Sam's, there's like 30 of us that turn around.
Yeah.
Because that name belongs to a lot of dudes. But anyway.
It does.
By the way, I love your show. You guys have an infectious laugh. And you never fail to make me laugh. I normally listen while doing homework. Ooh, I'm telling. Oh. And the whole time I'm either chuckling or smiling to myself, trying not to burst out laughing. This show is the reason why I love doing homework now. Well, there we go. Man.
We've been redeemed.
We're a positive influence after all.
Yes.
Yay.
Not for anybody else in the world.
Our show can wear a Christian t-shirt now.
Yay. Yeah. We've done something good. We've encouraged Angela to do her homework. So thank you.
So I hope it makes it on the show from Angela Varghese. And hopefully I said that correctly.
I hope you did too. If you didn't, I will judge you.
I just earned a t-shirt. I don't want to have to give it up already.
Well, I think you've earned a bumper sticker too.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good. I love Christian bumper stickers. Those are my favorite.
I like the one that says, I'm late for Sunday school. Get the heck out of my way. Have you seen that one?
No. I doubt it says heck. So
it doesn't.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm sure there's some kind of spiritual reference in there, but I'm just lost trying to find it.
It's so. Just hilarious. That's all.
Yeah. Well, I got a local boy story here. This is a story called Timely Tooting from Cole, and he lives in Cobb County, Georgia, which is right near me. So
sweet.
I wonder if I've heard this in real life or not. So this story begins in fifth grade. We were young. So we were still learning about commas and their different uses. To help us learn these uses and their importance, our teacher read us a book with lots of examples of why commas are needed. One example was, let's eat grandma versus let's eat, comma, grandma. You know, you see that comma in the right place, it makes a lot of difference.
Yeah, it does.
You're either inviting grandma to eat or you're eating grandma. So commas are truly important. As young fifth graders, we found all of these hilarious, except I had a problem. I had a horrible need to release gas. Of course, laughing extremely hard every 3 minutes after each sentence didn't help the situation of holding it in. It came to the point where I was really struggling and I could barely hold it. Then my teacher read the example, eat here, comma, get gas. You know, like a restaurant that's connected to a gas station.
All right.
Versus eat here, get gas. You get gas when you eat here. This was it. And I let out a fart so loud, it reverberated around the room. Everyone laughed, and that was one of the worst days of elementary school. Hope you enjoyed my story. Cobb County. Man, I not only did I enjoy that story, but I've lived that story many times.
You know, I would be amiss if I didn't admit to something. Our family doesn't fart in front of each other, even the boys. It's right. it's hidden. It's a secret, shameful thing. And and so when I'm in the truck and the family's in the truck, I try to secretly let them out, just, you know, and I do. I manage to do it secretly and quietly.
Oh, nice.
But it was just the other week, Jay said something about secrets, and he's like, "You're not good at secrets." He's like, "And we know when you fart." We can tell.
We can tell when you do it, Dad.
Even though we can't hear it, we can still tell. So I was busted.
Now what are you going to do? What are you going to do now?
I can't change my ways. I'm just going to continue to sneak them out using my stealthy techniques.
You might as well let the noise happen too.
No.
Warning.
I would be embarrassed. It's just the way it is in our family. We have to pretend like none of us do that. So
the sound is more embarrassing than the smell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I try to let out only a little bit of the time so it dissipates in the air. And I used the outside ventilation from the air conditioner instead of using the inside.
So. Yeah, when I was on a touring team, we would have to travel long distances and we all had to ride in the same van. So we would inevitably fall asleep in the van.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those 15 passenger vans, right? And so it had this air conditioner intake in the backside of the van so it could recirculate the air. Well, I would fall. I would sit back there and I'd let them go into that air intake. And then the whole van would start stinking.
You are so wrong.
Nobody would know who did it. Oh, they'd be rolling down windows. But I didn't make any noise. So I had nothing to be embarrassed about, right?
Yeah. That's terrible.
Sorry, everybody that I toured with. It was me.
Well, I was on a tour bus one time. Actually, it was a van. And I had like four other people in the van. And we had driven all day and all night. And it would nonstop. And my breath was so bad. I knew I needed to pull over and like do something. I needed to brush my teeth or something. But I had to sneeze. And I sneezed out through my mouth. And this horrible aerosol smell of mouth nasty just penetrated the airways in and around the van. It woke people up from a dead sleep. And they're asking, "What the heck is that smell?" And I'm like, "We just drove through a smelly area." And I found us a Walmart because I didn't know where my stuff was packed. So I found a Walmart. I went in there and bought me a travel size bit of toothpaste and a toothbrush, and I brushed my teeth out real good in the parking lot because I was so embarrassed, man. These kids were waking up
from the bad smell.
It was so bad. Anyway, I got a story from Nehemiah. It's called Zombie Attack. Hi, my name is Nehemiah, and I love your podcast. That is a requirement, by the way, of getting your show read or your story read on the show. Is you have to love the podcast. I think if you hated us and you wrote us a story, I think we would probably be able to tell. So, and we wouldn't want to read it.
Make an interesting story though.
Yeah, sure would. We've never had a story from someone that hates us now that I think about it. We've had complaints from people as we've read recently, but not.
We can turn them into stories.
Never got an angry story. You know, I hate you guys, but I saw a spider one time and it touched my mom's leg. Ah! You know.
Just scared the poop out of all of us.
Hope you guys die. Oh, hope, and hope it makes it on the show. Bye.
I hope you quit this show soon.
As soon as you read my story. Anyway, as of today, I've been listening for a huge amount of time, for 2 days. Thanks, Nehemiah. Whoa. He's been with us for 2 whole days. He says, but I love it. I'm 13, so that means you guys started about when I was born. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. That's the weirdest thing to think. Oh,
my gosh.
Wow. Thanks, Nehemiah.
Man.
Not sure how I feel about that.
It's another podcast, baby. Well, anyway, I've got a story. He says, I know you love gross stuff. Well, we don't. We don't really. But he said, but this will be great.
Okay.
We tolerate gross things. We don't love it. I'm already kind of itchy. We lived in Colorado Springs, and we were renting a house in a small neighborhood. I was somewhere between 5 and 7. I'm not quite sure. But I woke up one night, and I had that feeling. The feeling of a bug in my throat.
Oh, no.
Now, there wasn't an actual bug. I'm sure you guys are sad about that.
Nope.
But I did have strep throat, and I got out of bed with the idea that I could walk down a short hallway to my parents' room and have my mom examine my situation. So he's a kid. He's not feeling good. He's going down the hall to let his mom know. That's the normal thing to do. Well, I came up.
Trust their parents do.
Yeah. I came up to their door, and I had a feeling. The feeling. I felt the day's worth of food beginning to come back up, and I managed to get to the side of the bed where my mom was sleeping. I started to speak to wake her up, and then it all came forth. She was just waking up. I raised my hands slightly. She opened her eyes to see a jet of throw up shoot out onto her.
No.
And she freaked out. My dad wakes up as well. We finally get all settled down. We get cleaned up. We go back to sleep. My mom still says to this day that she thought it was a zombie apocalypse because all she saw when she opened her eyes was a dark figure, only slightly illuminated by the hall light, raising threatening hands like a zombie, and then she was covered in barf. And all she smelled was the puke, and all she heard was the blah. I love this part. She still doesn't laugh about it easily, but the rest of us think it's hilarious.
I don't think I could ever laugh at that. Mom, I'd be reliving it every time I thought about it.
Mom's still not over it, but the rest of us, we think it's amazing. Comedy gold.
The night I got attacked by a zombie.
Ugh. Yeah, that's like a story of my wife. We were way out. We were meeting up with some listeners to the show, and we had decided to meet them halfway. And so we were way out from home, and Jay was just a baby, and we had been talking for like 2 hours and having a good time, and Jay just threw up down her shirt, right down the front of her shirt. You couldn't even tell she had been puked on, but it was just all in her bra and all down the front of her. And she had nothing to change into. You bring extra clothes for the kid because they're supposed to throw up on themselves, but you don't think about all that. And she had to go all the way home just in this condition. And she did as much wiping up as she could, but my gosh, she still does not like to laugh about that. To make matters worse, The guy that we were with was a picture taker, and he was in the process of taking a picture of my son and my wife at the exact moment that he vomited. And so you get this picture of my wife looking down at him, her shirt is open, and the boy's face is down there just barfing. So not only do we have reminders of it, verbal reminders, we have photographic evidence that it occurred. So
great.
It's not good. It's not good for her. It's great for us. That's
what Nehemiah was, just a wee lad, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So we understand Nehemiah's wife. I mean, mother. Sorry. Nehemiah's never going to get married at this rate if he keeps puking up on the women of his life. So don't puke on women.
No, it's never a good idea. Yeah. Doesn't end
Take off your Christian t-shirt if you're going to puke on a woman. So
that's right. Don't have a Jesus sticker on your car.
Throw up on a woman. All right. Read us a story, John.
think this is the last story. So let me do this one proper. This is a scary serpent. I wonder if it ties in into that big freaking snake that we saw. And this comes to us from Danny in Virginia. Hey, James and John, this is Danny. This is my story. Last year, I was at Boy Scout sleepaway camp. At the camp, we did lots of fun things. The camp even had its own store. I bought a toy rubber snake at the store so I could prank someone. I love that about kids. They just want to prank people.
Well, and I was thinking, you know, that's the reason why the store had rubber snakes.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, these 8-year-old kids, man. They're going to buy the crap out of these. So
yeah, prank toys.
Yeah, don't.
I never wanted to prank people when I was a kid. I was too scared.
Take off your WWJD bracelet if you're going to prank someone, though.
Right. That's right. Unless it stands for We Want Jelly Donuts. Well, my dad and another dad split the week at camp. My dad got the last 3 days, and another dad got the first 4 days.
Ugh.
When my dad got to the camp, I told him that I wanted to play a prank on a friend. So he says, okay, I'll help. The day of the prank, it rained during the night, giving us the perfect excuse for a snake being out. My dad told the boy he saw a snake this morning and described the toy snake and said, oh, yeah, it's very poisonous and dangerous. Dad is just
blind. It has a barcode hanging off of it. It's the most dangerous snake in the world.
It doesn't even have to bite you. It just stares at you and you die. And it'll hold really still. Don't do anything. So Dad tells this fib about the snake being very poisonous and dangerous. And that night, we put the toy snake in his sleeping bag. And we waited.
That's harsh.
Yeah, that night. The next minute, we hear a scream, and we all come running out to, and the kid had jumped out of the tent and was screaming wildly. I went in there to see, and I took the snake out and threw it at him, and then he turned into a bat and flew away.
Oh, man. Dun, dun, dun.
Hey, he says, love you guys.
That's what you get for the end of that.
Yeah. Says, I love you guys, but not in a weird way.
Danny from Virginia.
Virginia.
Good. He's not loving us in a weird way. I don't know what that way would be, but I appreciate your not weird love.
That's mean to do that to your friend.
Hey, are you screaming at this snake? Here, catch. And when I was in Boy Scouts, we submarined a tent. And I learned that phrase from Parent Trap. Because that's what they said they would do. We're going to submarine her. That's what they did. Is they took the tent and they put string in it and they put all kinds of stuff. Well, we thought we would do stuff like that too, but we didn't have string and we didn't have a lot of the inventive things. So we put pine straw in their sleeping bags. And we poured things out on their sleeping bags, and we did way more than we should have done to their sleeping bags. And when it was all done, the guys didn't get pranked so much as they found the miserable mess that we had made, and they told their leaders. And then the leaders were very, very angry and wanted to know who did this. And me and the kid that did it, man, we zipped our lips, dude. We were not going down. For it. And it got so bad that they called in the camp director, and he came out and did a formal investigation and was questioning people and trying to find out who did it. And they realized that we were the only two that were at the camp when that possibly could have happened. And so we made up a story of two older rangers going off through the bushes. But unfortunately, the bushes we pointed to led to nowhere. And there's no way anybody would have ever left that way in that direction. So we got busted, and I don't remember what happened. I probably turned into a bat and flew away. But
why? You don't remember.
Man, I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know if the other kid, you know, had something to do with it and was pushing me further than I wanted to go. But or maybe it was just the movie, and I thought it was okay somehow since it happened on a movie. But anyway. Now you know about it, and now I can never do anything again. I have to live in my own shame. So, sorry guys for messing up your sleeping bags, but that's the end of the show. So, ha ha ha! What are you gonna do to me now? Do you have a funny life story? Send your stories, email or audio to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. We love your stories, and you should send them. Like I said, thatstoryshow@gmail.com. And if we used your story, we owe you a sticker. So email us your address. Thatstoryshow.com is the website. Review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us. And thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Jennifer Kinnison, Eric Kube, Dave O'Keefe, Janu Striesbeck, and Carrie Wright. Join the club and get more from your favorite podcast today, like we said, at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful or gross, like, you know, I'm talking about bacon on donuts gross, don't get stressed, don't get depressed, just think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show.
And it belongs on That Story Show, not a donut.
That's right. And if your car has a Jesus sticker on it, make sure you drive like Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do all the other faith believers in your community a favor by living up to the bumper stickers that you put on.
Yeah, the high standards that are set when you emblazon the name Jesus on the back of your car. You should drive in a different way.
Don't steal people's sheetrock.
That's right. They say, you know, if they put you in court, would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? Ooh. That goes for your car, too.